Last time on Wanderlust.
I'm planning on moving here.
Oh, and you told us about this in advance?
No, I did not quite do that, but I'm here now.
Okay. We really strongly encourage people to take in the beautiful sights of our eco-herb, but most importantly, and please, because I don't want to have to deal with Mitchell telling me again to tell everyone that comes here, stay on the trails.
Hi, I'm Juliet Merrow. We've been corresponding for a bit.
Yes. Hi. How are you, please? I like to take an interpretation of the rule, which is stay near the path. Well, in that case, then, you know, right in the gardens, there's this beautiful little kind of apartment thing. It's these little lofts where you have to share a kitchen with the whole floor. And you usually, like, everyone ends up working together. It's great. It's a new place. That's all.
Just give it a little bit of time.
It's a new place. And I'm a little bit nervous about living in a, you know, beat up old building.
It's not that old.
Well, it's literally like a million years old, but...
Yeah, but they have to make it so that you can live there, so it's not bad.
You're like into the Danaeus games, right? Like, that's like a thing. You're like...
Oh, she was like probably minor leagues in it.
You see a sight that makes your skin crawl, which is that there are people on, like, you know, like the sailboard things. It's like that with wheels. And they have big electric motors on them spinning like really fat wheels on the back. And they're basically using it as a skate park where they're like jumping off platforms onto other platforms. You start out real strong, right? And you get like one solid hop in and then you absolutely collide with someone and crash to the ground. I can't remember who was. I think it was Vinny's next.
Caitlin's next.
Caitlin, where are you going next? And by Caitlin, I mean Juliet. Where's Juliet at? Tell me where Juliet lives, first of all. Even if that doesn't become a narrative thing, I just want to know where Juliet lives.
Yeah, I think she would be in the lofts because she would want to be by the gardens.
Okay, cool.
So I think she's going to go back to the lofts, drop off her stuff.
Do we all have... like, adjacent rooms by accident?
I think, specifically, you do not have an adjacent room with Fred, who was put on the most crowded floor of busybodies that has ever existed, who are absolutely going to hassle him every moment of the day. He got put on the floor of, like, I made you a casserole. How's it going? Hey, do you want to go out for a drink afterwards? Oh, what's going? What you making there? It's just like nonstop questions.
Fun.
It's basically Fred's hell.
Cody, I love this game so much. I'm sorry I ever said I had a reservation about it.
Is it because we just basically aren't playing Fate yet?
You're making the town come alive.
So she goes and drops off her stuff. I think she's going to get dinner and also hopefully figure out, like, from a place that she can get food to eat now, like how she could get food for camping.
Oh, that is an interesting question. Now I'm asking the group, do we think there's like a grocery store basically that you can go to that's just like you don't pay, but you can go there and get food?
I think
we talked about this a little bit, right?
Yeah, we did.
I would assume
we
that
talked
would
about
be-
the practicality, but not about like how it works. You know what I mean? Sorry, Mandy, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I assume that would be how people get food to actually, like, cook in their homes.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of store or market or something where it's like, here is the food that is ready to be taken to your home, and then whatever isn't going there ends up going to, like, the restaurants and kind of cycles that way.
I like the idea that maybe, like, right on the edge of Old Town, there's, like, a grocery store and canteen that's, like, you know, like restaurants that have, or like grocery stores that have a restaurant in them that's kind of like, nah, it's an okay restaurant. It's kind of like that. So like, if you just want to go and grab a bite, they have, you know, hot food that you can take, or they have ingredients sitting out that you can grab and take with you. And I don't think there's really a... I think you have to become noticeably a problem before anyone makes a problem. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's there checking your homework. It's eventually, if they're like, why do we keep having... Like, we know that people should be eating this many calories a day, and five times that much is going missing.
Right.
Like, if something's happening, they might start to then pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But until that happens, like, no one's really questioning you on what food you grab.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess she'll go to that place. It doesn't have a name. Or it's just the canteen.
I'm trying to think of what we would call it. Because I don't want to call it the grocery store, because that feels weird. Call it a grocery store.
Is it on the water?
No, it's on the... It's by Old Town, which is east.
Okay.
I'm drawing a map.
Yay, I was hoping you were doing that.
Part of me wants it to be called something stupid like Kmart. You know, it's just like a holdover from the old world. You know, like they repurposed the building. But I also don't want to just make a grocery store because that seems boring.
I would say this is also like south of the market. So like the big open air market where there's like restaurant and artists and all that stuff, that would be just north of here as well.
Would this be close to the, like super close to the gardens?
It's on the edge of the gardens, but on the opposite edge from the coast. So it is far from the coast.
Okay, sorry, I missed
okay,
that.
So like it's easy then to like harvest things and they end up here.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
It is on the edge of the gardens, yeah.
Can it be called, like, the Grove?
We already have.
We have a Grove?
I mean, we had the Mystical Grove. I thought about calling something else the Grove, and then I just laughed and laughed and laughed in my head.
If we just call it, like, the Grove, not the Mystical or Mystical or whatever I
No, it'll be called the Smoky Grove.
Well, I was thinking, like, something that, like, it's like, you know, like, you're just, like, basically, like, picking it off the tree kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could call it the Field. Like, I mean, that... That just seems counterintuitive when fields
exist. We can call it the Grove. The Grove seemed like a nice name that I thought of previously.
Mandy, you said give me a minute like you were thinking of something. Did you have an idea?
Yeah, I'm name generating.
Okay, so. Gotcha. Is there a specific scene that you want to have there? Because I don't have anything solidly in mind as like a person that you might want to meet or a thing you might want to learn. Which if you don't, that's cool. Not every single one of these has to be an extended scene.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she just wants to eat and figure out food to take with her because she's planning on doing like a 3-day trip to start off with.
Oh, you're just like going for it right away.
Yep. Yep.
Nice. That's actually kind of fun. Okay, I like that. Okay, so you're like sitting there. I will say you're getting like a couple of stares as you're clearly packing a backpack.
Right.
A thing that really no one should be doing technically by the letter of the law. So people are like giving you glances, but no one like comes over and stops you, you know?
Okay.
There's like some like actual camping areas, right? Like
there's
it's not just like
trails, but I would say the amount of food and the complexity of Juliet's camping gear would draw some stares. It's more than what people would normally do.
Right, but like, I just want to make sure like what she's doing is not like specifically illegal. Like camping is not just like poaching in our
nothing world. Specifically illegal. Like you're not going to get arrested. You might be asked to stop, and then if you continue not stopping, you'd be like
asked to leave,
run out of town. Yeah, it's more like you'd be run out of town.
Yeah, what happens when you do something illegal, Fred?
Well, the sheriff would find out and then would, like, form a posse of citizens and they would stop you from doing it anymore by force, if necessary, you know?
I think as she's getting, like, packing her backpack, she just kind of, she's been, like, consulting her notebook,
yeah.
Like, that has a list in it. And she just kind of, like, waves her notebook and is like, Doc Marlin said it was okay.
Someone walking by just goes, he's crazy, and just keeps going.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, who is next? I think it's Mandy?
Vinny.
Oh, Vinny, doctor, right. Gosh, I forgot all about your bruised ribs. I'm sorry. So you hobble your way across the river into a doctor's office that is also in a retrofitted building. Like, this probably used to be a hospital or a small community hospital. They didn't get rid of it, right? So it has all of those, it has an emergency room. It has all the things that you would expect to be in a hospital are still there. It's probably, there's floors of it that are no longer used just because the population of this area has shrunk overall. But when you walk in, you see a lot of teenagers that look like they have sprains, broken bones, abrasions, surface level stuff kind of beaten up all over them. And there's like a triage nurse sitting there. This is like getting on into evening, and you can tell he looks like a little bit tired and a little bit haggard. And he is currently like lecturing a youth like, "Why are you in here again? Why are you in here again? How many times have you been in here?" And the youth is just like, "I fell off my board again, It wasn't my fault. Stupid wheel fell off, and it wasn't me."
Okay, once he's done lecturing the youth, looks like he's not just running around ragged. Fred will approach him.
He looks up, sees you, and goes, "Oh, gosh, are you a tourist? Did you get hurt? I'm sorry. I know sometimes the cliffs and stuff, if you're hiking, it can be a little treacherous. What's up?"
"Oh, it's nothing too serious. I just I just came in on the boat, and we had a bit of an encounter, and I think I might have some bruised ribs. It's not too bad. I just want to make sure nothing's broken."
And you say a bit of an encounter. Did you fall off the boat?
We ran into a rock sloth thing? It was gigantic, and yeah, it knocked me off the boat.
You ran into a giant rock sloth, and now you have bruised ribs.
Yeah.
Did you get in a fight at a bar? You can tell me if you got in a fight at the bar, but I have to treat you for...
No, it was... I swear it was a giant sloth rock monster thing. You can ask other people that came in on the boat. They'll tell you.
All right, so I'm going to put on the form, because I have to fill out a form for bruised ribs. Giant rock sloth.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Put a giant rock sloth. It's late, all right? I'm going home soon. Giant rock sloth it is. He scribbles down giant rock sloth on a form and then, takes you back to a room and starts putting bandages on you. So, you here just for a little bit? Sorry, the beginning of your trip was slothy.
I'm just moving out here. I kind of just need a new... Just change of pace. Just needed somewhere new to move out to, and this place looked pretty cool.
Change of pace, yeah. It's fun to be in the middle of nowhere, far away from anything and everything. It's got its own advantages, I guess. Like, there's big sloths everywhere.
Yeah, not looking for a repeat encounter there.
So what do you do besides garden? I'm sure you garden, but aside from that,
primarily I'm a craftsman, blacksmith. I make things.
Well, Honestly, you'll fit right in. We got glass blowing is a huge thing in this town. We got all the artists that like to be here. You can probably earn some credits real easy, which is fun, buy yourself something nice. And it's fun to have tourists around, that always want to buy stuff. It's a little bit kitschy, I guess. But, what do you like to make? What's like your specialty?
I make a lot of tools, mostly to help other people do other things. But a lot of the same stuff, people that would go hiking, I can make them like a walking stick or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Nice, metal shod walking stick would be cool, especially if you get attacked by sloths. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he continues bandaging up your side and then goes, "All right, all done. So, what are you doing the rest of the day? You going to take in the town, see some nice stuff?"
Yeah, I'll probably take a look around town, just kind of familiarize myself with what's around. I do kind of want to set up my shop here, since I just moved in and don't really have a whole lot of materials to start working quite yet. Know where I might find some good materials to start making my stuff?
Actually, yeah. So, two things. One, setting up your shop, great idea. If you want to see some cool sites, the town's famous for its ruins. That's why we have the college campus just over, a couple doors down from here. Can always take a nice little walk up there, see something cool, get a nice view of the ocean up on the cliffs. It's gorgeous. In terms of where to find materials, Old Town. So we actually have a whole part of the town that really was never demolished. It's still there. There's areas there where you can get scrap really easily. It's also kind of where the larger recycling centers are that, take in waste, metal, whatever, and you can kind of, like, get your stuff from there. That's what a lot of people do. And it's also pretty near the market, so, you know, Old Town would be where you'd want to go and look for recyclers or just for junk, you know? We still have, you know, from the way old days before Ecoworbs, there's still stuff laying around here.
Oh, for sure. I'll definitely take a look out there. Maybe I'll find some cool stuff.
Yeah, well, it was good to meet you, Fred. I hope your ribs feel better. Don't fight any more sloths.
I get the feeling you still don't believe me.
I don't. Oh, I totally don't. Oh my gosh, I don't. I'm sorry, it's so late, and I just don't. I don't believe you at all. I've never seen a giant sloth.
I mean, I know you don't believe me, but I would love for you to call down to the... Is the boat still in dock? Is the, like, the riverboat still around?
Yeah. I would say you can say yes.
I mean, I know you might not believe them either, because I hear the reputation of some of the riverboat captains, but they'll tell you.
The one on the Otter? Last time I talked to a crew member from the Otter, he said he got injured by a giant rock crab. So, you know, I had to hear a whole tale about a rock crab, a crab made of rocks.
Okay, and I just told you there was a sloth, a giant sloth made of rocks.
Yep.
So, I mean,
there's a common thread.
Maybe there's stuff out there you haven't seen yet.
It's possible. It's always possible. It's always possible. It might have happened. I put down sloth on the form. If someone wants to look into it, they'll look into it.
All right, well, it was nice to meet you, and thanks for the bandages.
You are welcome. Have a great rest of your day, he says, and kind of, like, waves at you as you walk out the door.
Yep.
All right, now I think we're back around to Estelle.
Yes.
Is it Estelle or Estella?
Estelle.
Sorry, the E on the end makes me want to go, and then I'm like, it's not right.
Nope, just Estelle.
So as you're kind of like crossing the bridge over to the other side of town, which is like, you know, then down towards the coast is where your parents live, you feel kind of like a tug on your sleeve, and you turn around to see Mitchell Toby, who is caught up with you. Hey there, Estelle. I just wanted to say hello. A little bit better than I did when you ran in and ran out. I'm sorry, I'm having a day.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure we already said hi.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's been a while. It's been like a year, and now you're moving into town. So I thought it'd be nice to actually, you know, I'm the sheriff now. Introduce myself, you know what I mean. I'm the sheriff. You know, that's changed since the last time you've been here, and I was surprised. I didn't know you were moving back in.
Yeah, I've had my paperwork ready to go for a while now.
I should stay more abreast on that, I guess.
I'm surprised my mom and dad didn't say anything.
Well, you know, if I'm going to be honest with you, at times I might try to avoid your mother. She is convinced that I have an act for public speaking and should get on the stage, and I don't want to. So I don't.
Well, believe me, I know Mother.
She can be formidable, but I'm trying to think of the right way to ask you this, or to maybe say this, which is, so I know you know the rules about keeping on the path, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so our last vet went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go missing.
Well, don't go missing is part of what I'm trying to say. But also, like, you know, your son's here, and I know Guffy's good at keeping people safe, but just really try to be cautious. We're very nervous recently, and we just want to make sure everyone is staying safe. And I just want to make sure, I know you're new and maybe you feel really comfortable here and like, oh, you know, that's for tourists. I don't have to worry about it. Like, really just try to like keep things chill. I'm worried that you might not.
Aside from the fact that what you're worried about with me, why is everyone so nervous right now?
So your ship was like attacked by a giant sloth.
Mm-hmm. It was fascinating.
See, that right there is why it's why I'm nervous. Because that's the kind of thing that the previous vet said, what's his name, Mandy?
Dr. Rees.
Dr. Rees. Gosh, you told me that recently, dude. That's the kind of thing Dr. Reese would say. And then he's gone, right? And there's a lot of tourists here, and sometimes they're hard to keep track of. And I think that you might take it as encouraging that we are getting reports and active sightings of animals that we have not seen before and of plants behaving in odd ways. So I'm concerned that you will take that as an invite to go out and try to see something fascinating rather than not do that.
Can I tell you something, Mitchell?
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't have brought that up to me, because now I want to know.
So why don't you just not, though?
Like, I am not going to guarantee that.
But you could just, you know, we've got a lot of animals here that need to be taken care of.
Oh, and I'm planning on taking care of them.
You can't do that if you're gone and dead. You can't do that if you're dead.
I'm disappointed you don't think more highly of me.
It's not that I don't think highly of you, and I know you survived your thing while you were on a boat with a bunch of scoundrels, but...
Listen, Mitchell, I am so excited to catch up with you more, but I have to go and say hi to my parents before Matthew and I are headed out to the ruins for dinner at the ruins. So, So, I would love to catch up with you later. Thank you for letting me know, and we will talk more.
He just kind of like looks dejected and goes, you know, just don't go wandering too. If you see something interesting, maybe wait until daylight and bring Guffy with you, and maybe
we'll be fine, Mitchell.
Okay, bye. Away. you just leave him kind of standing on the bridge. He looks like he's been awake for days and is very worried. Okay, let me think here real quick. Do you want to talk to your parents?
I was planning on just, like, doing a quick pop in, shove some food into my bag, and then leave.
Okay. Real quick, going around the circle, is there anything that anyone else wants to establish or set up? At this point, the answer can be no, but I also don't want to, like, nudge it into no if there's more stuff to do. Like, we got time, we're good.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything pressing.
Cool.
Like, if you want me to goof around in your town more, like, man, I'm having a blast.
You don't gotta fill dead air. You've all done a fantastic job of establishing characters.
No, you don't understand. I'm having fun doing this. I'm not filling dead air. I'm having a great time.
No, Cody, you don't understand. We want to waste time.
I know, no, and I'm perfectly happy for you too. It's totally cool. I'm not rushing. Okay, so Mandy, and by Mandy, I mean Estelle, we are going to continue to your parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a very familiar trek down to your parents' cottage. Every time you're there, it's changed a little bit. Either more plants have been planted or the roof's a different color. There's more little glass trinkets around. The pavers have been rearranged. When you walk up, when you start getting close, Guffy kind of like breaks composure and starts barking and running off. And when you finally close distance to the very familiar cottage, you see that your dad is currently underneath Guffy and being licked in the face and is kind of like making protests, but is also scratching his belly. So it's like, oh no, get off. No. He was a good boy. He was a good boy. No, you gotta get off, Guffy.
Guffy, heal!
Guffy, like, looks over at you, like, his big goofy dog mouth open, tongue out, like, clearly overjoyed with his tail wagging and still, like, in pounce mode. And then your dad goes, hi, Estelle! Hi, Mitchell! And then keeps scratching Guffy, and Guffy just, like, immediately goes back to play mode.
And Matthew says, it's Matthew!
Wait, what did I say?
Mitchell.
Oh, no! Sorry. Hi, Estelle. Hi, Matthew.
I've decided we can only have 22 characters from now on. That way everyone has a different first letter.
Yeah, first letter in the alphabet, and we already messed it up, you know.
And none of them can rhyme. We gotta remember that. None of them can rhyme.
I guess now you're in control. What do you do?
Estelle, waves over at her dad. Hey, Dad, we're just stopping by real quick. I just wanted to grab some snacks and then Matthew and I are headed up to the ruins for dinner tonight.
Oh, the old tradition. Well, you know your mom. She's got so many things in there. Just go have fun.
Yeah, I figured I'd see her tomorrow morning, since I figured she'd be busy tonight.
Oh, well, anyways.
Is she not busy tonight?
She knew you were going to be here, so no, she's not busy tonight.
We do this every time. Matthew and I always head up to the ruins at night.
No. She prepared you stuff. She's really excited about it.
Oh, wow.
But it was supposed to be a surprise. I didn't tell you that. Go inside.
Okay, then we'll see you when we get back. Mum's the word. And she goes into the kitchen and just like, because she is very much like her mother. Her mother has some baked goods. She shoves some into her bag.
Oh, as soon as you walk into the kitchen, your mom is standing there and goes, "Oh, hello! I've got you so many things. I baked all of your favorites to celebrate. I know you're having your dinner at the ruins, so I, of course, made you all of your favorite snacks." And she's like, already got a little bag packed. "You know, now that you're here, this can happen more often, you know, since you're close by, so I can make you dinner up in the ruins whenever you feel like it."
Yeah, we can talk about that more, when we get back, but you know, tonight is just for me and Matthew, and Guffy, so.
Of course, so how was the trip in?
Oh, Mum, okay, I don't want to give too much away, but it was fascinating. Mom, we saw a giant sloth.
Oh!
Yeah! It was beautiful! It was huge! And I'm not entirely sure how it didn't completely destroy the boat, but Mom, I will tell you more details when we get back.
Great,
it was
so do you want to maybe get lunch tomorrow, too?
Let me see how much I need to fix up the vet building.
Gotcha. You know, I was talking to some of the ladies that live down the road, and they said that they have a daughter, too, who stayed here, you know, recently, and we were thinking...
Okay, love you, Mom. I'll see you when I get back.
No, but I was also thinking maybe later today. She is still talking as you walk out the door.
Love you, Mom.
When you leave, Guffy, like, stands up off of your tackle, Dad gives a big bark and then chases after you. He seems very cheerful.
Yep, and Matthew and I and Guffy are all headed to the ruins.
As you walk away, the door to the house opens and you hear one final yell. "You forgot the oatmeal cookies!
We'll eat them when we get back!"
As you guys walk, Matthew looks at you and goes, "I really would like them oatmeal cookies. Just saying, you know, we could have gone back for the oatmeal cookies."
You had plenty on the boat.
Nah, I just like seeing Grandma talk to you for 30 years every time we walk in. It's fun.
That's why we left as soon as we could.
That's great. When you're here, you know, she talks to you first and then she talks to me, so I don't have to answer 1,000 questions right away. You get to answer 1,000 questions.
Estelle reaches over and pinches his cheek. "Oh, you just wait. You're about to get your turn."
No, that's not fair. That's not right. You can't do that. You know how I feel about this. If I go over there by myself, it's all day. I'm just there. It's 1,000 questions. I play cards. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, you better expect it to be a thing.
All right, fine. I need to find a job. And all of you and the two of you start making your way up the little path towards these ruins that overlook the town. Meanwhile, Fred, you wanted to go and try to check out the recyclers, correct? Or you wanted to set up your shop, then check out the recyclers?
I did a brief just drop off his stuff at home.
Okay.
And then went to the doctor. I think now he's going to go to Old Town to get materials to then go set up his shop.
Okay, gotcha. So I will say, the recycling in any given eco-herb is probably a pretty consistent thing, right? So, south of Old Town, right, which is, like, kind of over by where the Danaeus Arena is, but, like, this is kind of an area where it's getting a little bit sprawlier than the eco-herb typically is, but these are things that require a lot of, like, a lot of real estate, you know? So, kind of on the border of the city, like before it just turns to forest. So there's like branches overhanging what is essentially a junkyard where they sort through stuff, try to recycle and process down into raw goods what they can. But then also like at any point, if you walk in here and basically go like, hey, I want that. It's like, yeah, take it. You know, if it's like they're melting down car doors to make ingots, if you're just like, I want a car door too, you know, you can just take the car door and they're fine with that. Because it's, you know, you're repurposing it. So that's good to do, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Trees overhanging a, like an open yard where there's some processing being done. At this point in the day, there's probably just like one guy there who's just kind of keeping an eye on it and, you know, just there to kind of, I guess, yeah, like work with people as they come up. But it's not like actively running at this point in the day. So it's pretty quiet. It's just kind of on the outskirts of the town.
Okay. So, sorry, you said there's someone around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so Fred will approach him and just kind of introduce himself. Like, hey there, how's it going? I'm Fred, I'm new to town.
I am Lawson. It's nice to meet you. What can I do for you this wonderful evening?
Hey, Lawson, it's very nice to meet you. I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of each other now that I'm here. I'm a
junk collector.
I'm a craftsman.
Oh, craftsman.
Yeah.
Oh, most of the craftsmen here are working in sand, so it's a little bit rare for me to get someone. It's nice to meet you. What can I do for you?
Also, I just wanted to kind of get a lay of the land of what kind of facilities were available for gathering junk metal, because I'm a blacksmith primarily, and I'm pretty sure I'll be in lots of metal.
That we happen to have in spades. Junk metal we got. So here's basically the way it works. There's Old Town, that's basically the town that was Smoky Banks before all the eco herbs. That's still around. And as we repurpose buildings, construction crews come through, strip them out, remove stuff that isn't needed, it comes to us. Or when things break, they come to us, we try to repurpose them. So generally the yard is divvied up into there's steel, iron, you know, let's say magnetic, not copper or brass or bronze there. Then there's aluminum in piles, and then there's copper and brass and whatever. Generally, the way this works, in small quantities, just grab what you need. It's fine. You know, if you need to fix something, if you want to make some little trinkets, I'm sure that quantity... we're good, basically. You can just kind of take what you need and go. If there's, like, specifically something you want to retrofit, let me know. That actually, okay, now this is a good point. If there's, like, a specific thing that maybe existed before that you want to retrofit and recycle, like an existing whole, like if you wanted a car, like a whole car, we occasionally get those still, and they're not all melted down. I could, you know, if you needed one of those, I could, you know, that you'd have to pay for, right? Or if you wanted, like, a boat, right? There were a bunch of boats here when we got here. We did not melt all those down. Basic machines, vehicles, things like that, you can buy from us. They will probably be wrecked and need to be fixed. Raw, or like, hey, you know, this is a toaster. Just take the toaster, do what you want to do with the toaster. If you want, like, all the way melted down ingots again, as long as you're in small quantities, we're good. If you're going to build, like, a whole house, or you need to build a whole structure, then... yeah, obviously we're going to have to talk. Some amount of credits will be exchanged for that, unless it's a city-wide thing. So, what do you need? What are you looking for?
Oh, I mean, at the moment, I'm just kind of looking for whatever I can get, and it sounds like I can get pretty much whatever I need, so...
most stuff, yeah. Now, in terms of transportation, you can borrow my cart, you know, wheel it down to your shop. If you just want to grab a couple of, you know, bars of steel or whatever you like to work with, that's fine. And then my only other request would be is if you ever find something metal and it's junk and you don't want it, just bring it down here, throw it in the pile, kind of take a penny, leave a penny.
Okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
But yeah, other than that, anything else, you know, you want to know? Anything you need?
At the moment, I think I'm pretty set. It seems like a pretty good relationship got going on here.
Right? It's pretty easy. Oh, that's the other thing, though. Don't make trash, though, and then throw it out. You know, if you, like, make something and it's bad, you have to bring it back here. Kind of keeps it in a loop. You know what I'm saying? Like, trinkets for tourists, yeah, it's fine. But
right, yeah, know. No, I get you. Honestly, if I were to make something that didn't go well, I'll probably just melt it back down myself.
Right, yeah, certainly. That seems fine with me.
So, just out of interest, like I know that gardening is part of the jobs to do here, but what about this kind of work? Like, is this something that would be available to do some of my hours at? Because this seems like something I could get behind.
Not for gardening. You still have to do the gardening.
But I mean, like, because not all of our hours are gardening, right?
Oh no, all of the community hours are gardening. Yes. If you work for me, you'd be making some money. Yeah.
Wait, Cody, I didn't think that's what we decided. I thought only some of our...
Yeah, so the basics of keeping the eco-herb functioning are shared between everybody and are unpaid, right? So getting food into everyone's mouth, that's unpaid work. Now, there might be stuff that's like... I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. Let's say you also work and like build a house, right? You'd be paid for that.
Okay, so I guess I thought this was part of the keeping the place functioning. But maybe it's not.
Okay, you know, I'm kind of seeing the point that you're making there.
The way I thought it was is that everyone had to do gardening. Like, it's not like gardening is like everyone has to do 20 hours of gardening, and there is no replacement for that.
Yeah, but I thought there was other hours that, like, you do 20 hours of gardening for sure, but then you have other community hours besides that.
Those other hours are yours. You can do what you want with them.
Oh, okay. I thought
now,
it was...
Now, you can do that 20 hours. You can do 100. You can do nothing, or you could do 20 hours on top of that blacksmithing, or you could do 2 hours on top of that blacksmithing.
Okay. I misunderstood exactly how that worked then.
I would say, specifically with the recycling center, because it is kind of part of the closed loop of the eco-herb, there is probably an extent to which some of this would be considered garden work, you know what I mean? But certainly not all of it, and that would be, like, within rotation, you know what I mean? So you might do some work here as part of the garden, because this is where they recycle stuff.
Right.
But it would be insofar as you're, like, dropping off a shovel here if it broke and then going to another place to get a new shovel or taking a shovel to be repaired, you know, that would be part of gardening, but it wouldn't be like you hang out here at Meltdown Steel all day. That would be on top of gardening and you'd be paid.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Then we can cut that conversation because that was me misunderstanding, which honestly kind of fits the character.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I thought you were doing was I thought you were trying to scam your way out of working.
No, I thought I misunderstood as a player. I misunderstood how we're running this.
Gotcha. So anything else you want to do here?
I think that's good. He's not going to collect anything yet because he doesn't really have a way to transport. He said, I mean, what was his name?
You didn't ask his name, but it is...
No, he told me his name, though.
Oh, it's Lawson, sorry.
Lawson. Yeah, he told me his name, and I repeated it, because that's charisma.
Oh.
Say someone's name when they introduce themselves.
Look at you.
And then I promptly forgot it.
I also did, you know, and it was written on my computer screen.
He said I could borrow his cart, but
yeah,
that's going to take time, and he wants to get down to the ruins now that it's getting close to nighttime, so he'll postpone setting up his shop for now, and... look at doing that tomorrow.
All right, cool. Anyone else want to do anything?
I am good.
All right. So I think all of you at this point are heading your way up to the ruins that kind of overlook the town, right?
Yes.
So as you walk up the hiking trail for Estelle, this would be... you know, like, kind of boring in a way, like, whatever, I see this all the time, right? It's not that exciting anymore. It's like a, for her, it's like going to the park, right? Like, oh yeah, obviously there's these ruins. For you guys, the path leads to like a little, you know, picnic area, maybe camp area, you know, that's very like clearly marked, like, hey, you know, you can hang out here, it's fine. It's right on the edge of these ruins. But the ruins themselves are massive. Like, whatever was here before seems like it was monumentally tall stone structures that have all collapsed in on themselves at this point. But even those things are stories tall, and that's after they've fallen down. It doesn't look like just like, oh, there was a building here. It looks like there was a whole, like, small city or town built on the top of these cliffs. At this point now, though, nature has grown over it so much that it basically is part of the forest. Like, looking out through this, you'll see stone towers next to trees and vines that are all playing into them. And all of it has just, like, broken down and decayed and kind of become one. in that it is just, it's like looking into a tunnel, kind of, right? Like, you can see further into it because the stone has kept larger trees from growing, but it is still, like, very interwoven with nature, but expansive. Like, they say, like, oh, the ruins, you think, like, eh, you know, one stone building. It's like, no, this is big. And it just keeps going. The ones that are closest to you are maybe the ones that are the least overgrown. Maybe they've been kind of, like, trimmed back so you can actually see what's there. There's extensive writing in a language that you don't recognize, and this is from a history previous even to that of, like, the large monocropping and the city-states that that culture came from before it moved to the cities in the desert, and then eventually became eco-herbs. This is, like, before that, and there is not a lot of history about it. So this is kind of like a question mark what these ruins are. So what are all of you doing? You come up here, and I would say it's, like, pretty sparsely populated at this time of night. It is really pretty. The sun's setting. You can see the sun setting on the water, and it, you know, plays nicely, shining through all these ancient stones, and it's, like, a very kind of nice setting. But for townspeople, this is not, like, anything new, so it's not overly pop. Yeah, it's, like, everyone's seen it at this point. You know, they're down there having parties. You know, you can hear music maybe, like, kind of playing up from the town below. But here it's very quiet.
You said it's, like, a city, right?
It is city-sized. But, like, the camp area is kind of decidedly separate. Like, you're sitting in the ruins, but not, like, in the stones, right? It's, like, outside of the buildings and kind of, like, a designated nice modern area, you know, that's... You know, the grass is kept short. There's picnic tables kind of thing.
Okay.
Where you can kind of overlook all this stuff.
We're in the Stonehenge viewing area. We're not in Stonehenge.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've never been to Stonehenge, so I don't actually know if you can, like, walk around the rocks.
You cannot.
Okay, yeah.
Not anymore. You used to be able to, but then they blocked
people
it off.
People are terrible people.
Yeah, so kind of similar to that, where there's, like, a viewing area.
Do I see Dr. Settlemyer up there?
Well, Dr. Settlemyer, are you up there?
Yeah, so Estelle, Matthew, and Guffy, I think there's, like, a picnic table type thing where they've, like, scratched their initials into it, and so they take up...
Vandalism.
Yeah. They take up residence there, and pop out their bag of food, and I imagine from, like, this vantage point, there's probably, like, a pretty nice view of the sun going down.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, so just, they are just enjoying that, and their kind of dinner.
It's snacky dinner.
Yeah.
I think Autumn has a bag of almonds, or almond equivalents, that she picked up from the store. And she sees Guffy, and goes over, "Hey, guys!" And she pets Guffy.
Hey! Let me think, Autumn, right?
Yes! Still Dr. Settlemyer? Sorry, that was...
Still Dr. Settlemyer.
I met a interesting young lad earlier who was a little nervous around me, so it's kind of a joke for me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Matthew stands up and goes, "Hi, and just in case you didn't remember, I'm Master Settlemyer, just so you know. I go by Master Settlemyer. That's the title I prefer."
Estelle, like, swats at his arm.
Dr. Settlemyer, is that any way to behave in front of company?
Sit down.
He, like, bows deeply and sits.
Would you like to join us? My mom made a lot of extra food this time.
Well, as long as I'm not intruding, I didn't mean to do anything like that. I just wanted to say hi, since I know basically no one in this town.
Oh, well, no, and not at all. You are not intruding at all, please. Come and join us.
Is this okay with you, Master Settlemyer?
I know everyone in this town. I'm fine with you joining. It's all right.
My parents live here, so we've been here quite a bit. So if you have any questions, just let us know. We're basically locals at this point.
If you're into theater, my grandma's into the theater. So if you want to, like, do a poem on a stage,
and if you're not, stay away from her.
That's actually really good advice. Yeah.
I'm not so much into the writing of poetry. I'm better at more of the editing of it, so...
I'm into the cooking of poetry. I do the poetry of food.
I think that's the worst comparison you've had.
Do you don't believe that what I do is a not, do you, Mom? You can say it. I've always known it.
I didn't say that.
I've always known you don't believe in my dreams.
No, I did not say that.
How dare you not believe in his dreams? She gives you a cheeky grin.
He's got a dream. He's got a dream.
Well, first you're going to have to find somewhere to work, Matthew, if you want to continue your poetry of food.
Oh, that's what I should call my restaurant. Poetry of food.
That's awful.
Oh, that's what I'm calling
it. Don't do it.
I got it. I got the name. It's the poetry of food.
I actually think that's an amazing name.
Make sure everyone calls you the poet instead of the head chef.
That's a great idea.
I thought it was Master Settlemaia.
Well, now I think
Master Chef Settlemaia.
My name is Poet Chef Settlemaia.
I think with...
But your friends call you Poet, right?
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, I'm going to tell them all to call me Poet. It's going to go over great.
I think with the Matthew yelling about his new restaurant name, Juliet notices the group at the picnic table after she's been, like, wandering through, like, staring up at the ruins and just kind of wanders over. You were all on the riverboat, right?
Yes. You were the one paddling?
Yes. I was helping out. It's, wild to see you all here.
Hi, I'm Autumn.
I am Juliet. It's nice to meet you, Autumn.
She shakes her hand.
I'm Dr. Settlemaia, but, I guess you may call me Estelle. Autumn, you too.
Nice to meet you, Estelle.
I'm Master Settlemaia. You can call me Master Settlemaia.
And that's Matthew.
No, that is the poet.
And this is my brother Geffy.
Woof.
It's nice to meet you, Poet Master Matthew and Guffy. Brother Guffy.
Kaylin, do yourself a favor. Do not make your character have, like, I always call people by their full names. It's a terrible character trait that I regretted.
No, it's a great character trait. I want you to commit to it really fully.
I tried to commit to it and forgot it immediately.
I wasn't going to make it a character trait, but she's, for completely sake, on the first go. She'll do that.
Did you bring anything up here to eat? My mom always sends us with way too much food up here.
Oh, I mean, I'll join you for a snack. I just had a little bit of dinner down in town.
Well, we have plenty. And she tosses you, let's see, what's something that she would have sent up with us? Because apparently we left the oatmeal cookies behind.
Does she have, like, cocoa energy bites or something?
Yeah!
Cocoa energy bites. I like that.
That sounds great, yes. Tosses you some cocoa energy bites.
Awesome.
So what brings you to town, Juliet?
Oh, I'm here doing some research. I'm from a Symbiorb originally, and I'm looking
at... Me too! Which one?
Yes. And just like that, Zach became a bad person.
I didn't name it.
You know, a main one.
We can cut a big one.
We can cut this because I don't have a name for mine either.
That's fine. Ah, you jerk.
Hey, it's something someone would honestly ask in conversation, though.
Oh, it is. It totally is. And it's something that my character should know and
I'm
rattle
from
off a name for.
Indianapolis.
You're from one of the desert ones, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, you're from one of the national ones?
The Symbiorbs.
Oh, okay.
I got one. Well, I got where I'm from, but...
Oh, where are you from?
I'm from Fellridge. Were you living in somewhere near Fellridge, or were you in one of the other ones?
I think that was on the... a little far away. I was in Oasis.
Okay, I kind of know where that is.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that was, like, was really deep in the desert. It's kind of, like, miserable out there.
Mmm.
Garden in the Rocks would be a really good name for one. Garden in the Rocks.
I'm from Garden in the Rocks.
I like how we're all from, like, where it's like, we're all from the national eco-herbs, but all different ones, though.
Well, there's supposed to be three or four of them, so that makes sense.
Yeah, there's like, a circuit of them. But I'm here for a bit, kind of doing, sort of research trip and also doing some camping for personal reasons.
Autumn, like, kind of, like, shifts and, like looks at you intently, but tries to be cool about it. Like, camping where?
I was just doing a short little stint, 3 days for now, but I thought I'd stay. I'd come up here, see the sunset, probably stay nearby the ruins. It seems like a decent enough spot to start, and then I'd set off hiking in the morning.
Well, you know you're supposed to stay on the trails.
Right, there's
so
a lot
Delilah
of...
So Delilah doesn't get yelled at, is what I heard.
Right. I figured the ruins are, like, on the trail. You know, it's a tourist attraction. This would be a good place to stay. Not off the trails.
Well, just don't let Sheriff Mitchell catch ya.
That's what I've heard, yes.
He's a bit of a stickler for that.
Do you need a buddy to go with you, Juliet? I mean, there's dangerous sloths out there.
There are dangerous sloths.
Yes, and...
I think it's smart that you have a buddy when you go out there.
Yeah, Doc Marlin said something about shark mouth boars?
What are those? Tell me everything.
Well, he had a skull, and he said it had two rows of teeth like a shark. And he said that they live around here.
I need to go talk to him.
Are you telling me that there's an animal that has a kind of meat where it might taste like a combination of shark and boar?
I doubt that the compositional makeup of the meat is similar to shark, given its environment.
Matthew, that is not the exciting part here.
That's the exciting part. Here's the thing. The shark is a very lean meat. It's got a lot of flavor. Now, if there's an animal that's like a pig, it's very fatty, but has the flavor of a shark, that would be...
Matthew.
The flavor stored in the fat of that animal would be incredible. Incredible to eat. And it would run out into something... Oh, so delicious.
No, that's not...
The texture of that creature.
Well, if you do come across a shark-mouthed boar, I think Doc Marlin would want...
To eat him?
He would definitely want the skull and bones.
So I'm going to have the rest then, is what you're saying.
Matthew!
What?
No!
I'm saying if you took the meat, I think you should repurpose the bones, and Doc Marlin would be very grateful.
I'm fine with that. Well...
He might pay you. It sounded like he has somebody that he pays to do that sort of thing.
Matthew, wouldn't you want to make a bone broth, though?
I was going to say, now, see, the problem with that is, you know, I could give him some of the bones, but, you know, like, the muscular bones, like your ribs, your legs, yams, those would be good for broth.
You all are missing the most important part of this. A shark-boar hybrid.
Mouth, yes. Shark mouth, yes.
That sounds amazing.
I mean, yes.
To eat, yeah.
No, and not to eat.
Theoretically, yes, it sounds amazing. It sounds less...
It also sounds amazing to fight. I mean...
It sounds beautiful.
I thought it sounded more amazing when I was in Doc Marlin's office and not here at night, honestly. So I guess...
So is it like two rows of teeth or is it two separate jaws?
Oh, it's two rows of teeth, like a shark. What did you think? Two jaws?
I don't know.
Did you think there was, like, one jaw, and then that jaw was made of other jaws? Like, each tooth was its own little jaw? So when he bit you, it could bite you with...
No, like, what if it had, like, two mouths?
That's horrifying.
Like, it had two heads, or, like...
No, like, two mouths. Like, you know, like, there's another jaw underneath its first jaw.
Anyway,
I think you need someone to go with you.
If you wanted to come with me for a day, do you have supplies?
I mean, I wasn't planning on camping tonight. Are you going right now?
Yes, I have everything with me right now.
Where is Fred in all of this?
So I think Fred is just kind of wandering in now, like, because he spent a little extra time in town.
Okay.
And he sees the group and recognizes them from the boat.
Uh-huh.
And kind of...
You display your cards to show a pair of tits.
Zach, we have to bleep that. Caitlin, I didn't tell you, that was one of the funniest things you have ever sent me, was card tits. Because I'm just like,
In what world does this work? Because it's like what would happen if a middle schooler drew boobs, where it's like circle,
yep, you got it.
Circle, dot, dot. Like, yeah. I've seen them before. I know what they're like.
This is the boob.
I've seen so many boob. You don't even know. Which is funny coming from you. I figure you've seen boobs before.
I have, yeah. You got that right.
Once or twice only, though.
Yeah. No expert.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, Federico.
Anyway. So, Fred will see this group and kind of wander over. And once he gets kind of close to them and sees that they notice him, he's going to say... Kind of remember my voice already, because hearing all your voices makes me lose my voice.
You gotta have like a phrase that dives you in, like pick a cod, any cod.
Or my name's Cormac O'Rourke. You may have heard of me.
So I just figured out what my knight was missing. Got this beautiful view of the these ruins, and I was missing the company of a bunch of beautiful ladies. So I'm glad we got that sorted.
What? Are you being serious right now? I mean, do you not even see me? I'm right here. Are you hitting on my mom right now while I'm sitting right here with a giant dog? I'm just curious.
I mean, Matthew, your brother is the more attractive one of the family.
Are you specifically into dogs?
Are you... You look really familiar. Were you on the otter?
Are you another otter sloth?
Oh, yeah. I
did not agree to that name. I didn't agree to it.
Is that what we're calling ourselves?
We're the Otter Sloths.
I don't think I want to call myself a sloth, because that thing was mean. But yeah, I did come in on that boat today. I thought I recognized you guys from the boat there. That was some adventure, wasn't it?
Did you recognize me, or did you just recognize the women? I'm just curious if you missed that I existed, or if you just recognized the women.
I will say things happened pretty fast. I didn't necessarily recognize everybody. I just remember seeing someone jump off the boat to try to push it, and someone trying to push with a pole, and I tried to help. I guess you said that's your mom. I was trying to help get the sauce attention, so distract it with the, was that granola you were throwing at it? That was a pretty good idea.
Yeah, Matthew, you're one to talk. You didn't do anything. You were asleep the whole time.
I was napping. I don't understand. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Wait, you expected me to recognize you when you're down below sleeping the whole time?
I was on deck sleeping the whole time. First of all. I was sleeping on Guffy.
Honestly, that might be more impressive.
Yeah, how did you sleep through all that? That was quite the commotion.
Volume of sleep. It's how I keep up with the beautiful looks.
Did you even see the giant rock sloth monster thing, or was it already gone?
Saw it off in the distance, and you know, at that point we already hadn't cooked it, so I kind of moved
okay,
on.
Okay, good. I was afraid I was going to have another person not believe the story about the sloth monster, because I went to the doctor after we got on board, because that thing gave me quite a beating there, and he thought I was trying to cover up for a bar fight or something. He didn't believe me about the sloth.
You'd think with such a diverse ecosystem nearby, people would be more I don't know, open to that sort of thing.
I even mentioned to him that he could talk to the sailors on the boat, and he's like, oh yeah, because last time that someone came in, they said they got attacked by a rock crab. I'm like, I mean, okay, they said a rock crab, I'm saying a rock sloth. Maybe you should start believing some of us. I don't know. I just think they're pretty set in what they know.
Seemed very knowledgeable about many things.
I mean, this is the doctor doesn't believe it, though. The doctor is saying that he thinks we're making it up.
Oh, no, I'm saying that the captain, I'm a little skeptical of the doctor now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think they're kind of just stuck in their own world, and they don't know anything about the rest of the world, which is understandable, I guess, because it could be kind of frightening out here.
Well, that's good to know about the doctor in town, and that I maybe shouldn't tell everyone about the rock sloth, because they might think I'm crazy.
As you're in the middle of this conversation, you hear, like, a horrible, unearthly shrieking coming from, like, way deep in the ruins.
Oh no, is it back?
It does not sound like the rock sloth sounded. It sounds worse. It's like, oh, good. I heard this, and on a visceral level, you're like, I need to fight or flight right now. It's like everything about that shriek is I'm hunting and about to eat you. This is like super wolf predator sound. You're basically getting the predator clickies right now, but worse, you know? And y'all look up and glance towards the ruins, and you hear footsteps, and then from the gloom, you see a woman just running full sprint towards you. She has kind of like olive skin and long brown hair that's tied back in like a ponytail. It's all like wavy and kind of frizzed at this point. There's little flyaways loose in it. She has like branches stuck in her hair, scrapes all over her face. She's wearing like a leather jacket and hiking clothes and is just crashing towards you. And as she sprints past you, she pauses just long enough to look back and go, "Oh, run for your life!" And just keeps running. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.